For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. This is true in the present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as mudra, fools. Material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukkhalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara nivatma kataham imanyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are actuality carried out by nature. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, all the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 14, and Daivi Shesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word duratyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being situated in Krishna consciousness. Yet he felt great unhappiness the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Oh, there might be a Bhagavatam. sensation. Oh, best of the great personalities. I'm not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals, for making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namne. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyari Satarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita
reason.
say, I have not enough. No, yes, one could also say, I have not enough determination, therefore I'm not taking full advantage, and therefore I'm cheating myself, like this man. Okay, cool. Captured in old habits, and either I don't see it, or if I see it, I don't have enough intelligence to give up the old habits. Sometimes we have material desires and we don't want to take notice of them, just ignore them, because we would like to keep them. Usually. I'm identifying the body and mind and just cheat myself and not seeing that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Yeah. This side has not thought about it. Not even there yet. I'm somehow changing my rounds and I'm not even there. And after the rounds are built, I'm saying I've done them. This sounds, I think everyone has a nervous laugh. Yeah, because, yes, you often do this. Krishna life. I'm sometimes thinking I'm the doer, although I'm not. It shouldn't turn out into a confession round. This is like here now. Sunday morning in the Christian church, and so forth, and I'm so this, and so. I just meant it in a philosophical way, but it's nice that you have taken it personally, because after all, if we don't apply the philosophy in our jivatskis, in our lives, then it's not really good. There are generally three types of cheating described. One is lobha, that is material profit. People are after money or position or any type of situation in this world which brings them some material benefit. Puja, people want to be worshipped. We have with us a very capable and very expert sportsman, and he will be able to tell you how in the field of sport people are very, very eager to be worshipped. I once met a scientist from the Max Planck Institute in Vrindavan. I met him actually. We had never met before, and he told me that an amazing thing about this, that the Max Planck Institute had developed a drug, let me see what it's a doping drug, which could not be traced within the blood. A good sportsman, when they do extraordinary, then someone calls and says, can we see your blood, please? Yeah, because often they take drugs which push them up, and then they do extraordinary well. But this is, of course, forbidden. So the Max Planck Institute had developed, at least that's what they said, they had developed a doping drug which could not be traced in the blood. They advertised for it, saying, and they advertised about to many, many sportsmen who were just before the mark, which allowed them to take part in the Olympic contests. Do you understand my language? I think it's not very clear in the English, the way I express it. That, see, you need a certain license, a certain... you need to be just well... what? A certain qualification mark you need to be allowed to the Olympic contest. I can't imagine that Venu Gopal will be allowed for jumping in the Olympic contest, because you may only come up to 4.28 meters if you are good and have even 3 points. Some doping didn't be there. But and to be admitted, you have to at least do 8 meters.
What?
750. 750 you have to at least do. Then you can take part. So they said to these people who were just jumping, let us say, 740, 10 centimeters were missing. They said, we can give you this doping thing, and no one will find out, and you will be able to jump so much more, maybe 1 meter, 8 or 50, and you will jump. So they said, this is such a good doping thing. It will really make you famous. You will be worshipped, puja. You will get puja. Medyutam, there's only a very small problem with this doping thing. After 3 years, after you have taken it, and then 3 years have passed, you will die. This is a small problem. We have to tell you. So, now, how much percent of the people who were offered this doping do you think said, all right, we will take it? I think usually you think, well, maybe one drunken man who did not work within the right frame of mind. But you will be shocked to hear that it was a good amount of, I think 80 to 90% who said, all right, let us take. Because this desire to be worshipped or recognized is just so big in the human heart. One doesn't even care for life or death. It's just wild after. What do you think, Rasika? Amazing, isn't it? Are you surprised? Your mind is somewhere else at the moment? No, you're hearing. Yeah. Isn't it surprising? They are even ready to pay with their life to get worship. What do you think, Virashandra? This is distressing, isn't it? What do you think, Dasavata? This is the story of material life. The sad story we can add. What do you think? That horrible, isn't it? Yes. What do you think? Wild. And the last thing is Pratishya. That's the same. This thing. You know, look, labha is material profit. It comes all kinds of sense enjoyment, etc. Then puja, to be worshipped, and pratishtha means just very similar, to be recognized, to name, fame, and glory. The same old story. It's such a good hit song. become number one in the hit parade of this sad world, because it's so true. These three things are three forms of cheating oneself. Now, it might be said, why are we so much in Maya? And why is Maya so powerful? This question was asked 5 million years back by the great king Janaka, when the saint Ashtavakra Muni came into his palace. Ashtavakra Muni was a very, let me say, well-known figure in Vedic times. He moved in a very amazing way because he had a physical problem. He was bent in 8 parts of his body. He was crippled, actually. So he moved just in a very peculiar or special way. And many people at that time who were not very enlightened and who had never seen a crippled person, they were ridiculing him, So Ashtavakra Muni was invited into the throne zaal, inside the palace there is a hall where the throne is, and his host was the great king Janaka. So Janaka said, Ashtavakra, please sit on my throne. Please sit on my throne. I have a question. Please answer the question. Why is Maya so powerful? How is it that she can influence us so absolutely, totally? And this Ashtavakra, who was also a very extraordinary person, jumped up. He ran to the pillar and he clasped the pillar and screamed, "Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!" Now, all the people in the hall thought, now he has gone totally crazy. First he has a problem with his body, now he has a problem with his mind. But Janaka, who was very intelligent, sat there, tears of joy came in his eyes. He said, "Thank you very much." And then Ashtavakra left. What is the meaning of Ashtavakra's unusual form of teaching, answering the question? The meaning is, it's not that Maya captures us. We are capturing Maya. It's us who hold fast, who clasp the illusion. Not that illusion has us. That just like, you know, Ashtavakra making this joking thing, it's not true. You cannot say to the pillar, let me go, because the pillar really didn't capture you. It was not the pillar who just made ropes around Ashtavakra and so on. He was actively catching the pillar. So Maya has only power over someone who wants to be in Maya, who is not Krishna conscious. A devotee, therefore, knowing this, makes a great endeavor in his or her life to be Krishna conscious. In the seventh chapter of the first canto, we hear of the amazing realization of Srila Vyasadeva, who saw the Lord in the distance, the material energy, the powerful material energy. He saw that Maya was actually afraid to go or come before the Lord, just like darkness cannot stand before the light. And after this vision has been described, it is described that Maya actually goes away if Krishna is there in the consciousness. If you are in Krishna consciousness, Maya, you will not grasp for Maya, and you will not scream. If you are actually in Krishna consciousness, you will not embrace, this was the word I was looking for, you will not embrace Maya. Maya will disappear, just like the shadow or the darkness disappears when there is the light. So this is the wonderful power of Krishna consciousness. If we have Krishna in our heart, we will not embrace Maya. We will let go of Maya very, very easily. So it is described, Krishna we can get from the Vaishnavas. Krishna is present in three addresses in this material world. First address is the holy name. Now, sometimes you might bang at the door of the holy name, like Vedantakrit has revealed for us. You try to chant, but you cheat yourself because your mind is 2,000 light years from home, or from the holy name. Holy name. There is another address in this world where you can find Krishna. That is the altar where he is standing in his wonderful deity form, Shishi Radhamananda. But if all these addresses fail, there's one address which never fails, provided you come to the, and you will always find him. That the door will be always open, and that is the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava has Krishna in his heart, and he has the power to give Krishna to us. I remember a wonderful leela of Srila Prabhupada in this connection. When Srila Prabhupada was traveling through India, he had Shyamasundar Prabhu and his wife Malati Devi Dasi and their little daughter Saraswati in his entourage. So Saraswati always had a little deity of Krishna which was made from pure silver. It was once given to Srila Prabhupada by a judge, a rich judge. So one day Prabhupada chose to take the deity away. Saraswati came to her room, didn't find Krishna, totally freaked out. She should not speak like this. Young devotees are there. She totally became very disturbed. I think you can understand that. So she became totally disturbed. And she looked for this Krishna all over. And she came to her everywhere and said, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Now Srila Prabhupada looked at this, not with the, in a funny way, that he was enjoying his his theft, so to say. And he just looked very intently and very moved how this little girl was really only wanting Krishna. Now, the parents were there, and they knew that Prabhupada had a deity behind. And Sarasvati was just Krishna, parents Krishna. And the parents asked Sarasvati, Sarasvati, think a little, who has Krishna? And then Sarasvati thought, who has Krishna? That's a very good thing. And then she just screamed out, Prabhupada! And Prabhupada heard all this, and he was, again, very moved. He took this very serious. And then he just smiled and gave Sarasvati Krishna. It was an instruction meant for us. Srila Prabhupada always instructed us in a way which was very deep. He did these, what, at least as his disciple, I have only the explanation, it's a learning situation. It's a situation which he sets up to teach us, that we understand. Not just by words. Teaching by words is one thing, but if we are taught by life, it goes much deeper. So, I always remember this. Story. This girl, a little girl, was just so eager to have Krishna that her mind was on nothing else at the moment. And she approached the pure devotee and then got Krishna. It's such an instructive story. What do you think? Yeah. It is a very instructive story. Which can have. There's a song in this connection. Krishna, Krishna, say to Krishna is yours, my dear Vaishnava. You have the power to give him. Therefore, I'm following you like a dog which follows the master. He's hoping to get the mercy. This is a very, very nice. So, three addresses. The holy name, the deity, and the pure devotee. They have Krishna. And we get, they can give us Krishna. If we become conscious how much we actually need Krishna. We don't need material profit. We don't need puja. We don't need pratishtha. These are all representatives of Maya. And as long as we embrace them, like Ashtavakra showed, we will be in a very confused and bewildered condition of life. If, however, we at least in theory try to go get Krishna from the three addresses which we have mentioned, at least we try, holy name, deity, and pure devotee, we will get Krishna. And Maya has no chance. It's not even a verb for us to give her up. Like in the exhaustion, if I could just lift her hands or smile and walk away. If we have Krishna, it's very, very easy to give up our embrace. If we don't have Krishna, we are too conditioned in the mind to let loose of Maya. And then you could say, Maya has me. But really what it is you're too conditioned to give up Maya. people have thought about Maya, not only the Vaishnavas, but the Mayavadis, also the psychologists have talked about conditioning. They don't say Maya, but they say conditioning, essentially. No, the concept Maya is much, 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 much bigger than the three gunas, for instance, which modern scientists don't know about, and so on and so forth. So many people have thought about Maya, but almost all of them remain stuck to the pillar.
Let me go.
You have to let Maya go, and that's only possible if you have Krishna in the heart. Therefore, you have to go to the addresses. Now, last point. In this prayer, Prahlad Maharaj is giving the mood of a preacher. He says he's extremely unhappy for the conditioned souls who just are each stuck to their own pillar. Just, next time you go out in the world, just try to see people just still embracing a pillar and not moving. This is the reality of it. I mean, it's a poetic description or poetic vision of reality. The Vaishnava is just very sorry. He thinks they are what a nice subject for a theater play, isn't it? Just a few actresses embracing a pillar. And this would be a real absurd theater. that's the picture which we get. So, Hare Krishna, I know that most of us have left. It feels so different in an empty temple. We should, that's our time, we should always have the temple full like this. This should be our goal. That's our time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, just feels better with the full temple. please remember this little story of Ashtavakra. Smilingly let loose the pillar. So pray to the Lord Nityananda that you also will let go of your pillar called Labha, Puja, and Pratishya. It's built with these three stones. They are not valuable stones, they are very ugly stones. They smell evil. Do you have any questions?
I like to get sounded very much with the pillow.
Pillar.
Pillar.
Not pillow, pillow.
I feel like Maya was approaching for some Harita Thakur. It seems to be a little more than what is pillar.
In other words, Maya has an aggressive aspect. That Maya has three aspects, or let us say three modes. The material energy is working in three modes. Mode of nature, just like maybe a tape recorder has certain modes. One is that there is time, then the radio function, then there is a baking function, and so on below. So the material energy is working, sometimes makes one passionate, ignorant, and so on. We speak also of control of material energy. But this control only takes place upon someone who embraces Maya. I want to read you a commentary from Srimad Swami in this connection. And the verse is Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one can get liberation by seriously discharging devotional service unto me, and thereby hearing for a long time about me or from me. By thus executing one's prescribed duty, there will be no reaction, one will be freed from the contamination of matter. So Srila Swami comments in this connection that by associating with material nature alone, one does not become conditioned. It's not that by staying in material nature you automatically become conditioned. And the aggressive nature, you know, the aggressive aspect, the controlling aspect of Maya, grabs you. Not. Conditioned life begins only, listen very carefully, Karana. Conditioned life begins only after one is infected by the modes of material nature. If someone is in contact with the police department, that does not mean that he is a criminal. As long as one does not commit criminal acts, even though there is a police department, he is not punished. Similarly, the liberated soul is not infected, although he is in the material nature. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supposed to be in association with material nature when he descends. It's not effective. One has to act in such a way that in spite of being in the material nature, he is not affected by contamination. Although the lotus flower is in association with water, it does not mix with the water. That is how one has to live, as described here by the Personality of Godhead, Kapila Deva. Anivita nimitte na svadharane na malatmana. So, a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is not affected by the by material nature. He cannot be affected. Just like your example with Maya Devi shows. Haridas Thakur was not affected by the material nature. And how to stay on this platform? It means hearing, hearing, hearing about Krishna. And as a preacher in Krishna consciousness, I have found out a secret which I want to tell you. I found this out before I took sannyas. And thought very deeply about it. It's now a little, as you know, I have a style that I'm getting very personal, so I don't know if it's not today. When you are preaching, full-time preaching and really thinking you want to elevate conditioned souls or just think you want to make devotees, you will have a lot to do with very fallen people because they are usually in a helpless condition and they call upon devotees. You know yourself when you go to these rock and roll festivals, sometimes very, very fallen people become attracted to us. Drug addicts, people who are very sensual in many ways, and so on. So, as a preacher, we, Das Avatar Prabhu also remember when we went to these festivals with our bus, and we really saw fallen people. There you in Floto with us, Das Avatar? No. But you went other, you went to several of those very fallen people. They become attracted. I remember in Rock Fest standing there and naked women coming to take prasada and being drunken and you just sometimes they just almost fell on you. And then it's like this is going too crazy. I mean you have to after all also. I mean this is too extreme now. And you went into the forest and waited for the next morning when it was too cold. So just very fond people, and I noticed in my life when you are the whole day having impressions of very simple people in your mind. man, woman, etc. You can become disturbed in the mind, especially going through these festivals. I still go to that garden, and now walking has, or I was invited as the next spiritual camp, etc. Very nice. I just know the trick now. You can remain unaffected if you have a strong doses of hearing and chanting. Then you just don't take any note of it. It's just expelled from the upbeating Tropfen von der Ente. It's just mystical. It's so mystical, I can't explain why it happened. I mean, I can explain philosophically, but the mind is one is so sensitive as a devotee. One just hears any empty sound and every, but one can survive these festivals very easy and chance. Very nice. It doesn't even take notice, there's no attraction. So just being in contact with material energy, this is my point. Not my point, it's Srinivas Swami's point. That is not a contamination in itself. It starts the contamination when you get influenced by the modes of passion. How do you become influenced by the modes of passion? When you engage in these activities. You consider, it starts when you consider yourself the controller or enjoyer of the situation. And that only goes